By the river, neath the shady.
By the river, neath the shady tree, just my baby, just my baby and me. We hug, kiss, cuddle close by the river, neath the shady tree.
Spittin' Hoops, three-quarter season review. We're doing it again. Kodos the Wise, how goes it, my friend?
The fellas are back in action. I'm doing well. How are you doing, Joey Mac?
I'm doing well. However, it's a sad moment. It's a sad time whenever one of Wilt Chamberlain's records gets broken, because it leads us one step closer to forgetting the Dipper, and he already doesn't get his dues. So today, Steph Curry broke his Warriors scoring record. However, the Dipper only played 5.5 seasons for the Warriors. Steph Curry's over a decade, enough said.
Yeah, I mean, I think the record books are so stacked with Wilt. They'll be talking about Wilt like 150 years from now, and imagine the legend that will be attached to him at that point, because it's just going to be so far in the future. The numbers will just feel even more ridiculous when no one was alive for it.
Agreed. And, like, I want the cult of Wilt, the myth of Wilt, to just get more obscure. You know, in another 10 years... he would have fucked 50,000 chicks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just the numbers just keep
just
growing.
Inflation.
Maybe,
you know,
we
inflation.
Should start that. Maybe we should start just inflating them, and we should convince the owner of the Wilt Chamberlain archive to just delete the whole archive.
Definitely.
Just more mystery.
Also, we can, you know, when you go like look into advanced stats, you know, he says he had sex with 20,000 women. But that was with a lower population per capita back in the, like, 60s and 70s.
Lower population density. Imagine what he would have done with today's population density.
You know this exactly what I'm talking about. And we will work those stats out in 2050.
More chicks per capita, CPC, it's critical.
On his 100th, on what would have been his 100th birthday, we will do that.
Yep.
Yep. So, mate, three-quarter review. The season, as of today, most teams have hit that 54-game mark, which is exactly three-quarters of the way through. And
Wait. Are we not just going to talk about Wilt and how many chicks he banged?
We will, but in about 2 to 3 decades.
Okay. Cool,
when we can extrapolate the stats. Both.
So this isn't that pod, is what you're telling
no,
me?
No, because we don't know the population growth
oh, man,
numbers.
Oh, man, I was so excited, bro.
Sorry, man. I mean, we could pivot.
What do you think? Three-quarter pod or Wilt?
What I think is kicks. What we need to do is track down 1 to 6 females he slept with in his life and get them onto the pod and do an interview.
If we could get like a live rendition.
A play-by-play.
Like, the Dipper. Yeah, what was his... I have so many questions. What was his pace? What was his position of preference? How many pumps per capita? I'm just so curious.
Oh my God. The girl would be freaked out by the end. Pace is the number one for me too, but like... girth and length, I'd love to know, because I'm assuming like otherworldly. And then also just like the weird shit he would do.
Yeah, he would have been into some fucked shit. 30,000 women in his lifetime, or I think it was 50. So imagine, like, you can't just have normal sex at that point. Yeah, you're getting into some
the
shit.
The flip and dip.
By fuck number 45,000, you're doing at minimum flip and dip.
Yeah, anyway, look forward to, as long as we've got listeners in a couple of decades... that we're doing that pod on his 100th birthday. Yeah. Now, mate.
I mean, what, you think your mom will still be around in a few decades listening to the pod?
Well, she was one of the women the Dipper fucked. So we might as well interview her.
Yeah, little known fact, Joey Mack is actually one of the unknown direct descendants of Wilt, of which there are many.
Are there? Like, there's none confirmed, but there must be one that slipped through to the keeper. And he's got a...
Unfortunately for Joe, he has none of the genetics. You got none of the left block scoring. I've seen you on the left block. It's
yep,
absolute
I'm all
shit.
Right block. You know that. You know that from a concussion I once gave you with a little fucking shoulder to the chin.
You did give me that concussion on the right block. I reached, you teached.
Exactly. Now, I could go all day. However...
Bro, you're leading this fucking pod, man. Get us into the... what are we doing today? Why are we here?
I've said it 6 times, a three-quarter season review. Now, this is the point in the season for me where I'm like, ugh, hurry up and get to the playoffs. Like, all the questions that I want to know about contenders and non-contenders, I've pretty much had answered now. So now I just want to fucking hurry up and get the playoffs started. Do you feel the same way?
People kick it into another gear in the playoffs and you find out who's who. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm with you. It's like, it's a slog at this point of the season.
It's what I'll quickly comment on before we dive in is, it's amazing my obsession with LeBron and how it's tied into my love of the NBA. When he's injured and not playing, my interest in the league in general goes down like 25%. Did you feel the same way when Kobe was injured?
You're what the internet would call a bronze sexual.
Oh.
I think I would even fall into that category as well, probably by the definition of the internet. But yeah, I did feel that to some degree when Kobe was injured, but I don't know, man. I was watching 82 games when it was Nick Young was our primary scorer, so I'm fucked in the head with my Laker fandom.
For sure.
You know that I was projecting us to win the championship and we had D'Angelo Russell at the point guard.
You were so delusional back then. And still are. In so many ways.
Nothing's changed. But now my delusions are backed up. Like, I called the LeBron thing way before that shit happened, just because it's just that Lakers exceptionalism, baby. Just like I'm calling right now, mark my words, Steph to the Lakers.
No way. Nah, ain't happening. Won't happen.
Mark it, brother. Mark it, brother.
Mate, let's dive in. Start with the trade deadline. Any moves that you think have moved the needle in terms of chips this year?
No.
So, yeah. Period. And I totally agree with you. But let's touch on a couple. Oladipo to the Heat. Thoughts?
If there was any move that had any potential of moving the needle, it's that one. But realistically, are the Heat going to win the finals or even make the finals this year? No. But I think it's nice. It gives them another creator in crunch time. You know, that was an issue for them against the Lakers at certain points, when in the games where Jimmy was putting up, like, you know, he'll have a few duds in a row, even as Tim Roberts loves to point out. Jimmy's not the consistent guy to get you 27 a night in the finals. He'll have a gem, he'll have a dud, he'll have a gem, he'll have a dud. So they've got another option for those nights where Jimmy just isn't feeling it, and they're already super deep. It's a really well-rounded roster. Oladipo's not a very efficient scorer, but I think that's fine for the Heat, because they've got a lot of options to carry the load all game, and then they've got a guy who can get a consistent mid-range bucket in the clutch. So I think that's a nice pickup for them. What do you think?
Amazing pickup.
And they paid fuck
all for him.
They
gave up nothing.
They got him for free.
They gave up absolutely nothing for him. So
they literally got it for free. So that's a trade you do 10 times out of 10 if you're the Heat. And the Rockets, my God.
They fucked
let's
up.
Talk about, like, when you look back at the Harden trade, it's like they could have had Ben Simmons.
Yeah, and they end up.
And at the time, we knew that was absurd. And now they have. What did they get for it? Literally, what did
they got
get
horse
for
face.
It?
They got chin beard horse face Olynyk. They literally. So.
Yeah, they gave up Jimbo for Kelly Olynyk. Give me a break.
So they turned.
And a couple of shit picks.
Yeah, they turned Harden. They could have turned Harden into Ben Simmons. Instead, they chose Oladipo as the main piece, which they then turned into Kelly Olynyk with the chin beard. Like, they just chose picks.
At least they got a chin beard out of it.
You'd have to say that they'd regret not taking the Philly package.
Oh my God, dude, they didn't make it because of Tyrese Maxey.
Mm.
They literally didn't. The trade literally hinged on Tyrese Maxey.
Who's getting no
minutes.
I feel
like that's just an ego move at some point. Yeah, he's fucking. He's like, yeah, he has upside and potential, but he's averaging 7 points and 2 assists, and you're not making a James Harden. You're not making a trade for Ben Simmons over that. Give me a break.
But then also, like, Philadelphia, give up Tyrese Maxey. Like, who cares about that motherfucker? Like, it's James Harden we're talking about.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, but
I mean, both teams.
It's amazing how, like, it's hard to call, say, irrelevant, but irrelevant Oladipo has become in the space of 2 years. And he had that fucked up injury. But it's an amazing get for Miami. Like, props to them. Their only decision to make will be to pay the dude, like, a max this offseason. So he's basically playing for a contract. So, like, you love that kind of incentive from him. And the Heat are just lingering at that 4-5 seed, really going under the radar, exactly like last year. Like, do they belong for you, Cody? Obviously, in the East, it's Nets, Sixers, Bucks are the clear, clear favorites. Do Miami belong as that fourth team, or it's those other three and then the field?
I think you can't count them out just because of what happened last year. Like, they've proven that they can do it.
Yeah.
Jimmy will step it up, and, you know, they have the experience. So I don't think you can count them out
Especially if they get the Bucks. Just,
yeah, I mean, I also think, and it's a good matchup for them historically, obviously, that Bucks matchup. But similarly, how you can't count the Heat out, well, maybe this is the opposite point, so I don't want to say similarly, but I think the Bucks, you have to think that Giannis is just going to make a run one of these years. And this could be the year. Like, he's been playing quietly pretty much as well as he has during his MVP years, like slight drop off this year, but he's also nowhere near as motivated during the regular season. But he's insane defensively, and now that he has Holiday, who can pick up a little bit of the fourth quarter crunch time scoring burden in the playoffs, I think I wouldn't sleep on the Bucks as much hype as the Nets are getting, and they're still my pick to make the finals just because they're so heavy at the top. But don't sleep on Yanni. That's all I'm saying.
I won't. And guess, dude, Cody, the Bucks are locked into this roster long term. They just extended Holiday for 4 more years.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yep.
So they've got their big three. I think they've got Holiday, Giannis, and Middleton, and they are locked in with no roster flexibility from there outside of getting like ring chasers, but no one really wants to go to Milwaukee. So,
and you didn't even mention Brook Lopez.
Who's Cecil?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
But he's getting older too. Like they've probably got like a 3-year window, and then Drew, because Drew's been around for fucking ages, man. And then Brook will age out to becoming irrelevant, and then they'll have to fucking pick up the pieces. But they're locked in, and are you happy with them locking in with Drew?
I am happy with them locking in with Drew. I think Drew's a nice two-way piece who complements Giannis well. I don't think we'll know the real payoff of that until the playoffs roll around. Is Drew enough to get them over the hump? And I mean, obviously, that's kind of how you're going to measure that trade in the long run.
The answer is no. This is a guy that has got 2 max contracts, years and dollars, and he's what made 1 All-Star team back in 2012. Like, I know he's amazing defensively, but like, where's the proof in the pudding? His teams have gone at most to the second round that 1 year with New Orleans.
Well, you forget that, you know, 60 people in the league get a max. So does Drew deserve a max? Absolutely, in my opinion. Like, I think he's worth a max. Is he the highest value max guy that, you know, you can get? Obviously not a Giannis max or an AD max, LeBron max. Those are on another level, and those are the most valuable contracts in the league. But can you convince another one of those guys to come to Milwaukee? Like, good fucking luck. If you can lock up a guy like Drew for a max, if you're Milwaukee, you pull the trigger 10 times out of 10, because no one wants to deal with those goddamn winters. I did it myself for a few years. You know how it is in Wisconsin.
I do. But the thing is,
little note for the listeners, Joe and I met in Wisconsin when Joe was studying abroad in America and I went to school there. So we're both very familiar with the fucking winter, and I can't blame the big stars for choosing LA over it. I did it myself.
Coldest I've ever been. Your cock literally shrank to the size of a small peanut.
It's usually about the size of an almond, and it went down to cashew levels that day. So,
going back to the Bucks, you knew they were going to do it. When you give up 5 first round picks or 4 or 5 first round picks for a guy, it means you're willing to sign him long term. Otherwise, imagine you did that and he leaves in the off season.
Oh my God, yeah, that would have been fucking embarrassing for them if he dipped and they couldn't lock him up. So good for them. I mean, honestly, hats off to the fucking front office. They made that move, which got Giannis to sign, and then they locked him up. Like, that's the best you can do if you're the Milwaukee front office. Like, realistically, they don't have the sheen of LA to pull people there. Like, they locked in a generational talent in Giannis. Yeah. And they've got 2 mid-level maxes around them. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, now they've got it.
They're going to be contenders for years to
come.
If they
shit the bed this offseason, the move is obviously new coach. Agreed?
Yep, absolutely.
Just a shake-up.
A coaching change. Yeah, they've got a coaching change in their back pocket. And then they've got, you know, 1 or 2 years down the line, they'll have a shot at a trade or two. They've put themselves in the running here for the next 4 or 5 years. So,
Okay, Kodos, who you got winning the East right now? Sixers, Nets, Bucks.
Nets.
Yeah.
I already said it, but yeah, they're too top heavy. Jimbo's a fucking madman running that point. And I'm so excited to see more of the 3 of them together, particularly excited to see KD and Jimbo run together, because it's been mostly Jimbo and Kyrie or KD and Kyrie. So really excited to see KD and Jimbo. KD, arguably the player you want most in the clutch right now, which has been Harden's issue, is he's not been as reliable in the playoffs in the clutch, so that won't be an issue for them as long as KD stays healthy. Kyrie also known to be clutch. Him playing off ball, he'll be open for some trips. Yeah, so they're my pick.
Well, let's talk about their buyout dudes, man. Let's talk about, because obviously they got, since we last chatted, they got Blake, they got LaMarcus. Now, may I have my thoughts before you go?
Hit me.
I just, as a roster constructor, as a GM for the Nets, I wouldn't have gone after either of them. They had good things going with random glue guy role players, e.g. your Bruce Browns, e.g. your Claxtons, your Jeff Greens. Now you get these two names that come in and you have to try them. You have to give them minutes to see if they're, like, just based on ego and reputation, to see if there's any kind of fit. And they're just done. I mean, LaMarcus has got something junior in the tank. But Blake, he just is irrelevant on this roster, my friend. Like, Steve Nash, it must be annoying. He's had no consistency with what's available to his roster. He probably, like, watch this space, mate. By the time they get to first round, second round of the playoffs, LaMarcus and Blake will be sitting on the pine. I'm telling you that.
Dude, I didn't even know this, but did you notice during the last game, LaMarcus was covered in lettuce and he had ketchup and mayo on him, and he even had a bun around him because Andre was fucking eating him up. That was Burger City. Mm-hmm. Drummond was just taking him to town for 21 points. And that made me feel so good about the buyout market because the Lakers went after the right guy. Mm-hmm. They got a dude that's actually going to make impact. He's actually in his prime. He was in a bad situation where he wasn't motivated. And the dude has a top 5 rebounding percentage of all time this season. Yeah. So he's making a serious impact. He's 27 years old. It brings us right back to where we were last year with the option of just going with the dominant front court to just bully ball people. And it's really nice in terms of the matchup that it gives us against the Nets, because obviously they have a lot of mismatches against us with what their 3-pronged attack can do. And now we have the ability to just go bully ball. And what is their answer?
No answer. They'll put LaMarcus on, like, DeAndre. He's been getting DMPs right now. I mean, right. Maybe DeAndre will come in.
They'll have to put in DeAndre, but, like, yeah, they don't have the sauce to stop that Drummond, AD, LeBron front court. That's going to be dangerous with Schroeder and insert shooter, either McLemore or
not McLemore.
Or KCP.
Yeah, KCP. Now, look, let's stick with the Nets.
Real quick, why not McLemore? He was balling the other night.
He did. He shot the lights out the other night. To be determined who will be that. But, I mean, KCP's got the runs on the board, mate. He performed in the playoffs and the finals last year. And don't forget AC Fresh. Never forget the show. But, dude, sticking on the Nets, getting those two additions, it just clutters the decision-making and the lineups. Like, let's look at the majority of the minutes they'll play. You've got Kyrie, Harden, KD. You've definitely got Joe Harris as a shooter. And then who's playing in that fifth spot? Are you playing LaMarcus, Blake, Jeff Green, DeAndre? Who's getting the minutes there if you were coaching?
It depends on the matchup. You know, I'm a matchup-driven man. All of Frank Vogues, all of Vogue Dog. Mm. But probably Jeff Green most of the time.
Agreed.
Honestly, like, Blake Griffin's been playing solid with some of those minutes. I think Aldridge is going to be tough defensively for them, and they already have a pretty shoddy defense. He's not providing you his main value, which is like being a good scorer, good bucket getter on that team, because they already have 3 better options on the court at all times. So,
yeah.
I mean, especially in the playoffs, it's like, what value add does he really have? Because you're not going to him in any iso ball situations. Mm-hmm. He's not a great off ball player. He's a shitty defender. So yeah, from a fit perspective, I feel like LaMarcus has just repeatedly fucked himself. Like, he just didn't go to teams during his whole career that really maximized his fit. I feel like it was a pretty good fit for him in Portland, and he got out of there chasing something in San Antonio that fell apart pretty quickly when Kawhi ran out of town. And I feel like he's sort of one of those guys who, he could have been a really nice third piece on a championship team. But, yeah, never happened for him.
Yeah, I mean, look, his first 2 years in San Antonio was obviously the first year they won 67 games.
And then the next year they went to the conference finals and mm-hmm. Kawhi rolls his ankle in game one when they're up 20. They go on to get swept. So like
fucking Zaza.
Where's he from? Georgia?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Because he got that all-star nod where like the entire country of Georgia voted for him. And he just like, and then he was just like the leading vote getter. And I think the NBA like did something to not actually get
that's
him
what was all. Happening with Yao Ming too. Yao Ming was just getting a billion people voting for him.
Yeah, but Yao deserved it. Fucking chiller.
Yeah, he did. Okay, so let's flip. So it's so rare that on the buyout market you can actually get someone in their prime of relevance. Like it's usually older, slightly washed up players who want to be on a contender, so they're willing to give money back. And the late classic Lakers just getting, like you said, a 27-year-old, two-time All-Star, multiple-time rebounding champ. Like, he's not a superstar, but you're getting a guy of that caliber at 27 for the minimum. It's fucked.
Yeah, it
is. That's moved the needle.
It's absolutely moved the needle. And the funniest thing about it, and I just love it, I feel like there's been a lot of chat ever since that happened about the buyout market in general and how it's kind of a fucked up system if you think about it. Like, I love it because it benefits the Lakers more than anyone else. but it's a really fucked up system. Just at the midway point, there are just going to be a few options for the best teams to add and just get even better. It's like, it's just a midpoint where you already know who the best teams are, and there are going to be a few guys who are really good who are just like, I'm chasing a ring. Mm-hmm. I want to go to one of the two best teams. So the rich get richer and everybody wants to be in LA. So we end up benefiting the most. So I fucking love it. I hope it wasn't so egregious that they changed the rules in the next CBA about it. But there's been some chirp about it, and I would not be surprised if small market teams made a fit about it. But yeah, it totally moved the needle. And
for the minimum, it's classic. It's fucking hilarious.
Chips.
Yeah. Dude, is he... So, obviously, he's going to start, which means Marc Gasol's role is probably gone because coming in at backup center is either Montrez or AD playing small ball five. So, Marc Gasol's role looks basically gone. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it seems completely gone. I feel bad for Gasol. It's good for the Lakers, but I feel bad for Gasol. I feel like the Lakers organization and fan base has really done the whole Gasol family dirty, from Pau down to Raul. Just no one really got as much respect as they deserved. Like, towards the end of Pau's tenure with the Lakers, the whole fan base was slandering him way more than a two-time champion genius like Pau deserved. And now, you know, there was so much shit talk on Mark, who was doing a fine job in my opinion. And now, you know, tough shit for Mark. He's kind of ended up in this situation where now, because of Trez, he's pretty, barring an injury, it's nice to have him around because we just have depth at that position all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. But, you know, barring an injury, he's probably not having a role at all in our playoff run.
Yeah.
Which sucks. Sucks for him.
I just can't wait to see how's, because right now you're watching Drummond be like almost the number one option, which is a little bit awkward at times. Like when LeBron for and sure. AD are back, he's just going to be eating boards, like playing D and getting a couple of buckets when LeBron decides to feed the dog. Like, it's just such a luxury to have him. Like, if we'd signed him in the offseason, I would have lost my mind. Like, oh my God, we gave up Dwight and JaVale for fucking Montrez and Andre Drummond. Like, for like no dollars.
It's a joke. But one thing about Drummond that he was really bad at in Cleveland and a good amount of his time in Detroit as well, he has a tendency to get an O board and then put up a bad shot after it, mm-hmm. which that kind of diminished a little bit of the value that you would expect from his insane offensive rebounding output. But I think he's going to clean that up with us, because he'd be a fool to put up a dumb shot when he got an O board with this squad versus kicking it back out to LeBron to restart the offense. So I think like he's going to have even more impact than he has in his previous stops, and he can just stick to his role, save a little bit more energy for defense. I think it's more impactful than people even realize. So, but then again, I am a delusional Lakers optimist who thought we were going to win the chip when we had D'Angelo Russell running the show. So
yeah,
take it with a grain of salt.
Mate, any concern with the LeBron AD injuries and how they're both just, you know, taking a lot longer than you'd hope?
Yes, with AD. Really? With
because
AD.
The only concern I see is the Lakers are going to end up finishing as the fifth or sixth seed, which means nothing to me. Like, LeBron loves playing on the road. Like,
dude, it means nothing to me too, and I'm not worried about LeBron turning it on in the playoffs. And we should, even if we're the fifth seed, we should be able to coast in the first round. I'm worried because AD's body is just injury prone. Mm-hmm. And I worry that him not having enough time to get crispy for the playoffs, I'm a little worried about that, to be honest.
Yeah, LeBron's rolled ankle, I have no concern about that healing and him coming back at full strength. Agreed. With AD, with like a Achilles tendinopathy into a calf strain, they're going to be conservative. I'm hearing that we're going to get both of them back with a good 2 to 3 weeks left to tune up before the playoffs, which is enough. That's enough.
It's and what then, we need. Know. My worry isn't them being tuned. It's AD aggravating it and not being able to play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But we've been conservative. We've given them a lot of time. So it's just an unknown until you see it again. So I can't not be concerned about that until I've seen him on the court for some amount of time and I've seen him, you know, looking good and looking like he rehabbed it well.
Yeah. Who else at the buyout tickled your cock at all? No one? No one worth mentioning?
I don't think so. I mean, can you think of anything else?
I mean, you're just looking at what did the contenders do. So we've already mentioned what the Nets did. We've mentioned what the Lakers did. Then we look at the Sixers, who did nothing. We look at the Bucks; they did nothing. We look at the Clippers; they swapped out Lou Williams for Rondo.
Yeah, yeah. So that one is interesting.
Great decision. We both agreed he was redundant.
Completely agree.
Yeah,
yeah. Lou Williams was so redundant on their team. They needed a point guard to make, if for nothing else, to make Kawhi happy. They needed a fucking leader. Like, no one on that team is leading in the playoffs, so they have a leader now. It's actually such an incredible fit. I was concerned in the offseason they were going to sign him, and I was thrilled that Atlanta did. So yeah, I'm definitely annoyed that they got him, and it's going to be shitty to be going up against Rondo if we play them in the playoffs, which we likely will this year, pending another Paul George brickfest. So yeah, it's going to be hard to play against Rondo after like just the love that I built up for him last season.
Oh, I love him so much. Do you think he's like, do you think getting traded to the Clippers, do you think he goes in there like, it's how do you change your loyalties?
Seriously.
From 6 months ago, a bond you would have with your championship brothers who are trying to defend their title. And now you're going to their like main arch nemesis. It must be tough.
It must be. Like, it's weird, but it's a fucking business at the end of the day, and that's what we all have to remember.
Yeah, he'll play fuck old minutes, but it's just, you know, it's him breaking down film and, you know, when you get into a 7-game series and it's getting that intel and breakdown of another team and he knows the Lakers inside and out. Like, it's a huge advantage to the Clippers there.
Dude, and I wouldn't be surprised if he starts getting real minutes, especially come playoff time. Like,
instead of Beverly.
Yeah. I think he's an upgrade over Beverly in a lot of situations.
Well, look what he did last year. He was potentially the Lakers' third best player on that.
He was incredible
on that chip run. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't see him hitting over 40% of his threes again. I hope, and I feel like that was a fluke. But yeah, he was unreal for us. If he's hitting his threes, I mean, he's a great third piece.
Yeah. And then Phoenix, we'll talk about Phoenix in a second, but they didn't do anything at the deadline or in buyout. So then, I mean, the last, I guess, contender, we'll talk about Denver, and they've picked up Aaron Gordon. And since that trade, they've been killing it. Like, he's fit in really, really well. But you said no move has moved the needle. But now I guess you've backflipped because you just agreed that Drummond moved the needle for the Lakers.
Oh, no. I mean, we had already talked about Drummond when you said that. Like, Drummond clearly moved the needle.
Yeah, but I asked right at the start, and you said no, so you're a weasel. But do you think...
We had mentioned Drummond before that. Let the record show.
Do you think Aaron Gordon moves the needle?
Do I think Aaron Gordon moves the needle? He has proven to be a really nice fit so far. It's been cool to watch Jokic and him in the pick and roll. Like, there was a really nice sequence where there was like they were basically playing a two-man hot potato game where it ended in a really nice clean look for Jokic after just like literally no dribbling and four passes between the two of them. It was fucking sick. Mm-hmm. And they've just got a nice chemistry really quickly. I think Aaron was in a position where he was being asked to do too much in Orlando, one of those situations where he's the type of player who does really nice in a auxiliary role, but if you try and feature him and try and have him as the ball handler, he's not the right guy. But as the role man, fuck, he's super athletic, he's got good hands, he's got decent vision to pass out of doubles that come his way. So I think it's a nice piece for them. Do I think it moves the needle in the Western Conference? Nah,
I'm with you, mate, because for me, let's talk about our Western Conference teams that you actually think could win the chip. Are you going beyond Clippers and Lakers? Like, how do you feel about Phoenix and the Jazz and Denver? Do they deserve in that conversation?
Oh, man. Phoenix, no.
Agreed.
I don't
see it. We'll get to them later.
Yeah.
Denver, I'm saying no as well.
Denver, I'm saying no also.
They do have a potential top five player in the league. You know me and you are huge on that.
Yep. Yeah, for me, it's Jokic's D in the playoffs. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like Jokic, I think he'll snag a chip a la a Dirk run at some point in his career.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is the year. And yeah, I just don't think they have enough right now. I think Porter Jr. has the potential to...
He's good,
Fuck yeah, he's good, man. And I've been saying that since day one. Like, I mean, if he develops a little bit, they could be super dangerous on the offensive end as soon as next year. I mean, don't sleep on Murray in the playoffs. He stepped significantly the last 2 years, and I think he's going to do it again. I thought he was going to step it up this season, but they just don't have enough. Like, they're not gonna get it done over the Lakers, and I think the Clippers would take them out this year too. So now that brings us to Utah.
Can we start on Denver for a bit? Let's start on Denver for a bit.
Hit me.
Because Denver is, we all know what they are, and they're an offensive team. Like, they're fourth in the league in offense, which what's good to see is they lead the league in assists, and that's just driven from Jokic. Like, he's just such a generational random pass fiend. So, like, I just love watching their offense. But like you said, they've got the 17th best defense. Like, that's just not getting it done. It's just not. It just won't get it done. Like, we've had this chat before. If you basically don't have a top 10 defense, you're not winning the chip. There's one team that's done it in the last 20 years, and that was the 0-1 Lakers. But because they were in fucking cruise control all season, like, Denver don't have those runs on the board. So we've had this chat. Another pod where is amazing offense going to overcome that? Potentially this year, but then that's when you tip your hat to a Brooklyn over a Denver.
Yep. Yeah, I honestly didn't listen to a word you said there. I got a text and got distracted, so let's just move on to the next team.
Just completely agree with what I said.
I fully sign off on that take. It was brilliant.
Okay. Jack. Clippers, yeah, man.
You're a genius.
Clippers, man.
What about them? I mean, I feel like it's just for them, it's prove it in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they've got the best offense in the league, which is...
Dude, they always scare me. Like, I was scared last year, I'm scared this year. Of course there's a chance they could take us out, and it's my worst nightmare. I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're an offensive juggernaut. When they're clicking, they look scary.
And they should be elite on the defensive end. They should be way better than they are, like, theoretically with their
offense. They're
10th. So.
They've got best offense, 10th best D.
Like, and that's good enough to get it done. That's good enough to win a chip.
What's crazy about the Lakers is, despite losing LeBron and AD, they still have the best defense in the whole league.
Dude, Vogue
dog. By a decent margin, like a 2 points per game per 100 margin, which is crazy.
Vogue dog.
Dude, they've got the 20th best offense, which is obscene to think about.
Yeah, it's crazy. But Sanbeans really knows what he's doing on the defensive end. So.
He really does. So let's talk Jazz, bro. You still a non-believer?
Am I still a non-believer? So, it's a tricky one because their advanced metrics look fucking great. They on paper, they're absolutely a contender. But there's just something about Donovan Mitchell being your top guy in the playoffs going against the likes of LeBron, KD, those other guys. It's just been rare to see a team, as we've talked about so many times, that's, you know, it's like the 04 Pistons, the 20 Heat. It's like it just kind of rarely happens championship by committee. So Do I really think that they're a genuine contender? I think they're going to give the Lakers and or the Clippers fits, but I don't think they make it out of the conference.
Nah, fuck no. Well, mate, do you actually think Donovan is their most valuable player? Because there's a great argument for Gobert and Conley this season.
Yeah, but is Gobert going to be your go-to guy in the clutch? Gobert's not even going to play in the clutch sometimes.
No, he's not.
That's my point. It's not who's their most impactful player. It's probably Gobert. But Gobert's not your guy in crunch time.
Agreed.
And in playoffs, what matters more than that?
You're right. It comes down to who's getting those shots in the last few minutes. And Donovan's got the fourth highest usage percentage in the whole league. That's why I'm with you, man. I don't see it happening. I don't see Donovan as good enough to be closing out conference finals games and finals games. Like, he's just not there yet. We just haven't seen it. Even though he put on that crazy performance in round one of the playoffs last year, they still lost, and he still, like, gave up a 3-1 lead.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good point. Donovan went the fuck off in last year's playoffs, so maybe I should be giving him some more dues than I am. But I think until a guy's made a deep playoff run, putting up, you know, really nice numbers, it's hard for me to think that he can take down LeBron or KD or one of these other proven guys. But, you know, it happens, and this could be the year where, I mean, if he's putting up 50 a night in the playoffs with this playoff team, I mean, with this team around him, they're going to make some noise. So,
do you ever remember a one seed getting so little hype and attention?
Oh, I mean, some Spurs teams historically, like pretty much every Spurs team, no one ever paid attention to them.
Yeah.
What other teams? I feel like oftentimes if there's a small market team making a lot of noise without a really big name, I feel like they're just not going to get that much coverage.
I feel like the NBA world's got to a point where, like, the regular season is just dismissed so casually, and I'm one of the people who do it. Like, you know, you look at the Bucks the last 2 years, it's a completely different game come playoff time, where if you haven't proven it in the playoffs, like if you're just a breakout regular season team, no one gives a fuck anymore.
Yeah, I think it has to do with that. I think it has to do with the market. I think it has to do, it's like if LaMelo was on a team that was breaking out in the regular season, it'd be all ESPN is talking about. But because it's kind of just a boring, I mean, what franchise is more boring than the fucking Jazz?
Timberwolves.
Like, I don't know what it is. They're just so goddamn lame.
They are.
You know?
They're so lame.
Like, they had 3 All-Stars and they're just so fucking lame.
Yeah.
Who cares?
And the Mormons per capita thing also bothers me.
Too many Mormons per capita, for sure.
Far, far, far too many. Okay, let's talk about Phoenix, bro. Like,
yeah,
it's beyond a joke now. Like, they are the fucking 2 seed in the West and playing really, really well, particularly since the All-Star break. So it's not a fluke now. They're going to finish as a fucking top 4 seed. Are they for real?
Yes. Are they a contender? No. Like, I called from the beginning of the season they were going to be good. I knew they would be. It's the Chris Paul effect. He's just really good. And he's got some nice pieces around him. Ayton's underrated. Booker's probably a little overrated in my opinion, but he's still a really nice piece, especially if he's, you know, your leading scorer, but kind of like your second dog on the totem pole. They've got Crowder. They've got some dogs on their team, and they can, I wouldn't be surprised if they made a deep run. But I don't see them taking out the Lakers or the Clippers probably. So,
nah, it's just, they've got 2 legit closers that I trust. Like, even though,
I mean, I could see them taking out the Clippers, to be honest.
Well, you just hate the Clippers. We haven't seen Devin Booker in the playoffs, but like, I trust him to be able to close out a fourth quarter. I trust Chris Paul completely to run a good offense in a fourth quarter, despite the fact that he's, you know, never made too much noise in the postseason. Like, I still see that as an opportunity. However,
I mean, he would have won a championship if he didn't get hurt in that game 6. So
Potentially.
Forget that.
But they don't have LeBron, AD, or Kawhi. And those three are better than Booker and Chris Paul. Like, and it'll come down to that if everyone's healthy.
Yep.
Do you think it's crazy what they're doing, though, from, like, 10 years in the lottery to now a 2 seed in the West? Like, when has that fucking happened? It's not like they added prime Chris Paul. We added old Chris Paul.
Okay, so it's two things to me. First of all, Chris Paul is just underrated in his ability to manage a basketball game and to lead a team. Like, people give him dues for sure, but, dude, he was... Was it his rookie? It wasn't his rookie year, but 2008.
Should have been the MVP.
Second seed in the West. And how young... He was super young. Second seed in the most stacked West, where all eight teams, for only the second time in NBA history, had more than 50 wins.
Yeah.
It had loaded teams. T-Mac on the Rockets with Yao. We had one of the just a classic
Kobe
great
Powell.
Spurs team, Kobe Powell. You had this loaded West with everyone getting over 50, and sneakily Chris Paul just slipping into the 2 seed as a youngster. Like, the dude is an all-time great, and every team he's gone to has gotten significantly better. He's just proven he's a winning formula. The ball hasn't gone his way in the playoffs, and he's fucked up pretty pitifully down the stretch, namely that Clippers meltdown against OKC and the one against the Rockets.
Those two are the only bad ones. Like, the rest was all just injuries, man.
Yeah, bad luck and injuries.
Yeah.
But yeah, you pair him with two young guys who've just taken, you know, they've just gotten better. They've just taken steps up, and they've been in the league long enough where they're ready to make significant impact, and they just kind of needed a dude like Chris Paul who's been there and done that. So it was a formula for success to me, looking at it from the start. I think Ayton's underrated, and I think he's actually regressed a little bit somehow this year in certain ways, but he's a nice piece down low, and Booker's a legit scorer, so it just pairs well with Chris.
Yeah. I mean, outside of those five, it's tough to make a case for anyone else in the West. It's obviously Blazers or Mavericks. They've both got two of the best players in the league, so, like, anything can happen. But Portland and Dallas, what are your thoughts on them? I don't see them. As much as I hate, you know, my... I promised
first round,
exactly,
10 years straight.
Dallas would never lose in the first
round.
This is
going to be a tough
one
for you. Yeah.
Well, Dallas, dude, Dallas are clicking, and they've got the easiest strength of schedule for the rest of the run. So they're most likely going to finish as a 6 seed, and then it just comes down to matchups. Like, if they get the Clippers, like, if they get Phoenix, would you pick Dallas? I would, because they got the best player in the series.
I still wouldn't. I think that'd be close, and I think they might take it. But I totally agree. It'll come down to matchups. That'll be an interesting one to watch, your prediction. And there's going to be some janky matchups because of injuries. Like, who knows where the Lakers will end up in the West. Like, some unlucky fucking team is going to drop the Lakers after they've overachieved when the Lakers slip down to, like, the 5th seed or something.
Yep.
So, yeah, what do I think about Portland and Dallas? I think exactly what you said, like, those two guys can get hot and anything can happen, but realistically, probably first round exits, second round at best.
Nah, dude, mark my words, Dallas will find a way to get in the seed that faces Phoenix, and my prediction will ring true. They'll knock them off.
Love that from you. Love that from you.
And Portland will go out in the first round, and Tim will be super happy because he hates Dame.
I mean, dude, I, as you know, I picked Dallas to make the Western Conference Finals going into this year, so I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Yeah, and, you know, nice get from them. They went from having that all-time offense last year, and then they chose to get rid of Seth Curry, bring in Jason Richardson, and they just lost that extra shooter, but they've just picked up JJ Redick, which I really, really like for them.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think that's really nice. That'll open up the floor for Luka a little bit. And yeah, I think you can't count them out just because of how fucking good Luka is. And he came into the season fat and out of shape, and he's played himself back into shape. And low-key, he's putting up MVP numbers as everybody predicted he would, but he's not going to get any chat for the award because he came in fat and his team underachieved. But you know, he's definitely playing MVP level ball. He's proven he's incredible. Can step it up in the playoffs. He's a fucking genius, so you can't count him out. Same for Dame, but yeah, I think most likely favorite both of them Dame. First round exit. But I'm not counting out Luka for a playoff run ever. Mate, you won't catch me sleeping on Luka Magic.
What I want from Chris Paul is he's got 2 years left on his max deal. He'll obviously play next year out, but then I want him to figure out a buyout and come play with LeBron. Like, they're best mates anyway. Like,
Just bring Carmelo on board, get D-Wade out of retirement for the fellas, just do one little banana boat run.
Just CP. He needs to come on board at the end of his career and chase a ring. Like, he needs that. Before he's irrelevant, before he's just riding the pine chasing a ring, like, still on the floor playing, like, 30 minutes. Like, that's what I want for him. And it's not happening in Phoenix. I completely agree.
Take the minimum after a buyout and just hop on board with LeBron for one fun run at it. He really needs that. And we all need it. We need to see Chris in the finals.
Mate, have you got Jokic for the MVP with everyone else dropping like flies with injury?
Honestly, Giannis deserves it.
Do you think so? I disagree. Yeah.
I think Giannis deserves it, but I think Jokic will get it.
Yeah, he's almost going to get it by default. Like, it was Embiid's. Embiid goes down. Then it was LeBron's. LeBron goes down.
I also wouldn't sleep on Embiid coming back and getting it.
He's back. He just had a good game today. He had 36.
Yeah, exactly. And there's just so much recency bias in the MVP race. So if he comes back and puts up the same numbers that he was putting for the last quarter of the season, it's like, what, he missed 10 games?
Yeah, it's classic recency bias. But Jokic is leading. We had this chat last time. He's ahead in all the advanced stats. Like, and Denver, it's only looking like they'll go further up the standings. Like, they're at 4 now. If they could end up in the 3 or 2, I think it's his to lose.
I mean, do you really think, though, that he is more valuable? I mean, do you think that if you and I were doing a pod 10 years from now on the classic MVPs, on MVPs we would change,
yeah,
and we were just looking at it without the lens of any narratives on the season, you think we wouldn't give it to Giannis? Best defender in the league, average, you know, with a PER of ballpark 30 on the second best team in the East.
I know what you're saying. But the thing is, Jokic has better numbers. Like, that's what I'm saying to
you. You're looking at one side of the ball, brother.
Agreed.
One side of the ball. Giannis does it on both ends. No doubt. Jokic is more impactful on offense. No doubt.
Yeah. I mean, we had this chat last time. Like, he should be in the conversation. He's just not. He's just fucking not.
No one's going to give him a shot. People are going to talk about Jimbo more than they're going to talk about Yanni. But, I mean, Yanni's the best defender in the league, and he's has a PR of 30. So,
well, remember I said at the start of the year that Giannis would be the MVP. Like, this will be go back and have a listen, my feathery friend. I was like, he'll be the MVP, but they won't give it. And you were like, they won't give it to him.
Yeah.
They just need to weasel their way to the one seed. If Giannis gets him back to the one seed and keeps doing what he's doing on both ends, it'll be tough not to give it to him.
For sure.
And they're 3 games off that one seed, which is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely at this point in the season. So we'll see.
We will see.
What else you got from your brother?
Just want to talk about Zion, because what he's done since our last chat, since the All-Star break, is getting to the point of utter ridiculousness. Like, he's an unstoppable force. He's getting to the cup at will. He's been running like point Zion. Like, they were already running more plays from him at the top. But now he's actually bringing the ball down the court, like, and they're bringing like screens out for him, and he'll just like attack a mismatch. It's utterly ridiculous. What are your thoughts on him? Like, but they're so shit. And that's what bothers me. Like, he should be in the playoffs. He's too good. And they're just languishing down at the bottom of the West.
Yeah, they're super shit. And he's absolutely incredible on the offensive end. Like, he just had 36 points last night on 74% shooting or something. And the funniest thing is, as soon as I saw that 36 points, my first thought was, I bet he did it on 70% shooting. and he did it on better than 70% shooting. It's stupid. He just gets so many easy looks because he can bully his way to the cup, and he's such a good finisher, and if he doesn't finish, he's getting his offensive board, and he's putting it back in. He's just not a good defender yet, and I don't know if he ever will be. He's pretty slow laterally, and he tends to get distracted and loaf a little bit on the defensive end. And he doesn't have the same explosiveness that he had before.
He doesn't. Definitely not.
Yeah, he's a special offensive player. Imagine if he still had that explosiveness. Yeah, he's a fun player to watch, and he'll be a contender in no time. And what do you think about their pickup of Isaiah?
I couldn't give a shit. I'd rather sound Zion. Dude, he's going to break Wilt Chamberlain's... Sorry, did Giannis get the PER record last year? Single season? Pretty sure.
I believe he did, yeah.
So Zion is going to break the record because he's so... Like, imagine when he's on a good team, because PER is also affected by, like, if you're winning and losing as well and how shit your teammates are. He's already averaging 28.
I don't think it's affected by your record. It's obviously affected by your teammates, because your assist percentage is going to be better.
Exactly, by your teammates. And, Forgot to say, didn't mean record, but by how good your team is, basically.
Sure, for sure, yeah. If you're getting better looks because you have better people space on the floor, it's of course, if you have better teammates, you're going to get better numbers and shit.
He'll average... If they build an offense around him, a perfectly constructed fit around him, and he's in his prime in 3 years, he'll average 35 points on 70% shooting. He just can't be stopped. If you spread the floor around him and give him one like good screener, it's over. It's completely over. That's like what I'm deciding, Cody, is like when LeBron retires, the big question for me, and we've always had this chat, is will my interest in the league wane? I'm going to say no, but I'm going to have to jump on someone else. I'm going to need a new LeBron. And who's your money on for me to jump on?
Ooh. Well, based on the fact that you just led this in after a rant where you jerked off Zion, I think he's probably a good bet, but I would have said Luka before that. Like,
it's Luka for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Luka's fucking... It is. Special to watch.
It's him. You'd put your money on him, Giannis, and... Zion as like whose league is it next?
The thing about Luka and Zion is just, they just don't have the juice on the defensive end. You kind of need that to be like the big dog.
You do. So you're saying
like, what historical player? Okay, if I'm thinking of historically impactful players that like weren't elite on the defensive end,
Steph
comes to mind.
Magic Johnson.
Yep, yeah. For sure.
James Harden.
Jimbo, yep.
Yeah.
But, you know, Steph and Magic are the only two that got chips. Of course, we're definitely forgetting a few people, but those are kind of like, you know, you think of all the other ones, the people who really, I mean, all the people covered in the Greatest Peak series in Thinking Basketball. Duncan, Shaq,
you gotta be Hakeem,
Robinson, Walton, yeah, KD, MJ, LeBron, Kobe. MJ, Kobe. Yeah. So
people who do it on both sides. But Zion, there's no reason why he can't become at least a good rim protector. And with Luka, he's got enough size to at least become, you know, an okay defender. As long as you're not a minus on that end. And like, credit to Steph. Steph got to a point where he wasn't a negative on D. He just wasn't a strong defender. Whereas James has always been a negative defender.
Steph was very underrated on the defensive end. Steph got a lot of hands on loose balls. Steph was picking people's pockets. And a genuinely underrated on-ball defender as well. Like, he would hold his own when people would switch onto him most of the time. Like, there's this misnomer that he was a liability when people switched on him just because people were doing it all the time, trying to expose him. He held his own. Like, the stats show he held his own, so.
Well, the only reason that shit happens in the playoffs is, like, when you get to game 5 in a series against the same team, they literally know every single play and action you're running. So it becomes so fucking hard to score. So then instead of running those action, the team just goes, let's just hunt mismatches. Like that, even though it's so inefficient as like a regular season offense, it becomes almost the best bet. Okay, let's give the ball to LeBron and then we'll try to get the smallest guy switched onto him and then hopefully he can make something happen. And that just happens, especially with Cleveland and Golden State. They were played 4 years in a row. They were so familiar with each other. So it literally just became that, just attack the mismatch. And Steph's the smallest spot guy on the court. That's what was going on.
Yeah, but it honestly wasn't that effective if you look at the numbers in those situations. So underrated defender was Steph. And Magic Johnson, he's probably neutral on the defensive end. So
yeah, he wasn't known.
Because he had size. Because he had size, like for a point guard. He was getting more defensive rebounds, and he had passable help defense at the rim because of his size. So
let me hit you with a few little plus minus stats, which is always interesting for me. So the guy who's leading the league in real plus minus is still LeBron. So he's still the best player in the league. Now, this is going to shock you to your core. If you go to offensive real plus minus, Steph Curry is number one by over 40%. He's that far and away the best offensive player in the league. Now, it's his defense that lets him down from being the overall best plus minus. But Steph offensively, he's on another planet and they're still not in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, I mean, Steph is just... Fuck his gravity. It's the gravity. It's just everyone is thinking of Steph at all times when he's on the floor, and it opens up everything and he can hit anything. And yeah, he's special. They need Clay back, and realistically the run's just over. Like, and it's over especially because he's going to the Lakers next year, but you know, that's neither here nor there.
It's sad, but it is over.
Yeah. And we were all hoping that they'd have another shot at it this year if Clay was around, but it's over.
Yeah, I mean, their only chance for me is like, because they're going to get a sweet Minnesota pick because Minnesota are at the bottom of the West. So the Warriors are going to get that. They could package up that with Wiseman and maybe get like a Bradley Beal and try to extend something that's going down that way. But it looks down.
It's possible, but... I think it's over.
I mean, that's all I've got, bro. Who you got for the chip from here, man?
Lakers, brother.
Okay. You don't think the Nets have shown you enough?
To be honest, we haven't really seen the Nets yet. Like, they haven't even played with their three. So, like, it's going to be fucked up how good they are when the three of them are out there. But... I really like what we did with Drummond. I think it just gives us a particularly nice chess piece against them. So I think we match up well with them now. So I do think it's going to be Lakers-Nets, and I think we get it done. What about you?
Agreed. I think Lakers-Nets, and I was thinking Nets for the last kind of month. And if they play their best, they're going to win. Like, they're just too top-heavy. But that Drummond piece for me evens up the ball game. Like you said, I think the Nets are going to be ridiculous next year with a little bit more continuity. And that's what the Lakers and AD LeBron and Frank the Tank have going for them. It's just that institutional knowledge that I think they'll get it done. They'll get it done in 6 or 7.
Yep.
Jeez, I'm calling it early.
Yeah. I think it's going to be... I mean, it'll be a good series. They're not going down without a fight.
Just bring on the playoffs, eh? I'm so... Like, at this point...
Yeah, I'm ready.
My motivation will limp towards the finish line like your cock goes limp on most sexual experiences.
Yep. But I had no chance anyways with the acorn going in. So, you know, it didn't really make a difference for me.
All right, brother. Shout out to the Dipper who once bedded Lucy McCallum, my mother.
Joe's the only guy I know who's going to make a your mom joke about himself. So I got to tip my hat there. All right, Dip, take us away just like you took Lucy. La-da-dee-da, 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 that's easy to say. But I'm going to do it. It's so hard to do. Oh, yeah. Gonna quit my smoking, gonna quit my drinking, start life. When people were talking about shipping Porter Jr. in the... What trade was it? Anyways, I'll edit that out. But yeah, he's great. And he's great. And